Ladies and gentlemen, jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman Report. It is Tuesday, October 10th. That's right. You heard me right. October 10th, 2017. The weather is mild. I'm kidding. I want to welcome everyone to tonight's show. We've got a great show lined up for you today. Andrew Kerr coming out of the gate. Brockbuster. Not Blockbuster. No, I didn't turn
Chinese. Eric. We are streaming live on Twitter.
We asked folks to watch on Twitter. Please watch on Twitter.
And what we did is hashtag two terms, one being Brockbuster. So get that ball rolling on Twitter.
Hashtag Brockbuster.
Yes.
Hey, David Brock, we want you to watch this. Mr. Brock, please watch this. Or have one of your friends watch this. But anyway, I remember talking to Mr. Kerr about this issue about a year ago. Knew this was coming. That's right. We knew this was coming. Couldn't say a word. Actually, I like doing this because my daughter Jackie's over here waiting to put a piece of equipment on the desk, and she's afraid to do it, to be on camera. There she goes. That's my daughter, Jackie, by the way. Nuptials, upcoming nuptials, her and Eric the Tech. It's a match made in heaven, of course, this week. And, wanna just say congratulations and so happy, Eric the Tech and Jackie. And that means that, it truly is a family function. I wanna say hello to my good friend, Pat Campbell, KFAQ, out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. God bless you, my friend. He's got I think pretty much like Noah, he's got like, I don't know, 24 children. He's got a whole bunch. He's a great guy though. I want to say hello to him. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching on Periscope Twitter, apparently, as we are live. And, thanks for tuning into our two shows. Mine at 9 a.m., 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time, on BTR. Go to Blog Talk Radio and Global Star Radio Network, either one. And, not on YouTube. The two shows, these supplemental programs, Doug Hagman Show, 9 to 10 Eastern Time, and of course, Joe and John, 2 to 3 Eastern Time, on Blog Talk Radio, BTR, and Global Star Radio only. Go to HagmanReport.com and you can find them. Today's show is kind of interesting. I'm interested to hear feedback from me about today's show, and I was starting to listen to their show today as well. Very interesting. But, hello, Joe. Let's bring on Andrew Kerr. Andrew Kerr's got something here that
he's got a breaking story, something he's been working on for a number of months, upward of 8 to 10 months now.
A year, and, really.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember the first call. I remember talking with him, Joe, and him laying this all out for me. Okay, now after they got done, after the housekeeping came in and cleaned up my head, brains off the wall, because man, I'm going to tell you something. What he laid out was just earth-shaking. And he's going to be here to explain it. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
TheCitizensAudit.com is Andrew's website, TheCitizensAudit.com. And there's also a piece up on Hagman Report from the Daily Caller that was written about Andrew Kerr's complaint today. Brockbuster, is the media matters cheap slurping from a slush fund? Andrew Kerr, it's great to have you back on the show.
Hey, Doc. Hey, Joe. Glad to be back on.
Hey, it's so glad to have you on. And may I say congratulations on your fine
absolutely.
Work, fine investigative report. Folks, go to, obviously visit Andrew Kerr's website, but the Daily Caller has done a great job in outlining the issue. Mr. Mm-hmm. Kerr, I'm going to turn the floor over to you. What in the world did you do? What have you done?
Yeah, I stumbled upon a really deep, big hole about, 9 months ago, and I've just now kind of found the end of this whole grasping for air. So 9 months ago, I set out to answer a simple question. How is American Bridge 21st Century Foundation, a nonprofit organization that reports to the IRS that shares office space with Media Matters for America, pay almost $7 million to zero employees. $7 million in employee expenditures, payments, salary, but to zero employees. So what I uncovered was that this nonprofit organization, American Bridge Foundation, has a cost-sharing agreement with American Bridge 21st Century Super PAC, one of the largest Democratic super PACs in the business. They brag about supplying over $300 million worth of earned television time, all of it benefiting Democratic politicians, all of it negative towards, or most of it negative towards Republican politicians. So this is an incredibly complex scheme, but to sum it up, what the math and all the research appears to show is that American Bridge Super PAC, which is required to disclose the identity of its donors, is abusing its cost-sharing agreement with American Bridge Foundation, a nonprofit that reports to the IRS that's not required to disclose the identity of its donors, in an effort to conceal the identity of its donors. So essentially, money comes into the foundation. The foundation just creates expenditures and then reimburses those created expenditures to the super PAC. That's what it appears is happening. The math, the trends, the change of behaviors from 2011, from when these organizations were founded, to 2015 and past to 2017. And while I was uncovering this scheme, what I had to do was go really, really deep into both nonprofit law and federal election law, two areas that not much of anybody really knows much about. So I had to go really deep into both of them, because it appears that this arrangement is set up to, it's identified the gaps in coverage from the IRS and the Federal Election Commission, and they're utilizing that gap to engage in the scheme. And what's concerning is that if you look at both sets of documents, just at the Super PAC's filings on its own and the foundation's filings on its own, it doesn't look like anything's wrong. It's only when you look at them really, really deep and then you compare, and then all of a sudden you start to see, some tears right down the middle. So this is incredibly complicated. So if I start talking over you,
I'll just say this, just to the people out there. This is complex, but what Andrew Kerr has done, just to kind of give you a little bit of a boost here, is Andrew Kerr has connected some investigative dots in a way that no one else has. And I mean, no one on this planet has, except those involved in this scheme, alleged scheme. I have to use that word. And you did so through expending a lot of shoe leather. And folks, Andrew Kerr consulted attorneys, accountants, tax people, the best of the best. And I mean, you talk about an investigation, a labor intensive investigation. This young man worked his butt off and to make sure he's 100% accurate. So what he's explaining to you, and I'm going to shut up now, but what he's explaining to you is a very complex monetary, would you call it money? What would you identify it as? If you were to give like a phrase to it, it's not really money laundering, is it?
I prefer to say
alleged.
Failing to report political contributions.
Okay.
Right. Because the money's flowing from the foundation into the super PAC, but it's flowing in the form of expense reimbursement. So American Bridge, David Brock, they may come out and respond to the Federal Election Commission complaint that I filed today, and say that, oh, this is a gray area, there's nothing wrong here. There is something wrong here. If you're reimbursing expenses that never existed or never were incurred in the first place, then those aren't expense reimbursements. Those are contributions. If you contribute money to a political organization, the identity of that donor if you contribute to a political organization, it must be reported. But that's not what's happening here. It's going into an expense reimbursement bucket, offsets the operating expenditures. If you go on the super PAC's reports on the Federal Election Commission, over $11 million since 2011 through the end of June 2017, but not $1 of that has been counted as a political contribution. So that's the argument I'm setting out, is that I don't believe that these expense reimbursements are honest. I think that American Bridge Foundation is incurring some expenses that they need to reimburse the super PAC, but I don't think it adds up to $11 million. The reason why I say that is when I went and looked in all of American Bridge's statements over the years describing their arrangement, you know, with their foundation and their super PAC, which, by the way, they're very dodgy. Anytime a reporter asks about the arrangement, and a lot of times, and I have this documented in my report on my website at the Citizens Audit, where American Bridge just, you know, blatantly ignored the reporter's request to clarify, you know, hey, what's going on with this cost sharing arrangement. So the math shows that from 2011 to 2015, over 90% of American Bridge Foundation's shared expenditures with the super PAC were for shared employees. And I painstakingly write that out, that established that pattern in an explainer that I posted on my website. But once we establish that the vast majority of their expense reimbursements are for employees, and then we actually look at the individual expense reimbursements that the foundation is sending over to the super PAC, it looks very strange. At the beginning of this arrangement in 2011 through mid-2013, the reimbursements looked like honest expense reimbursements for primarily employee expenditures. It's, you know, random, like, you know, $15,120.15, like, you know, just arbitrary example. And I show that, you know, the line items of the foundation's expense reimbursements with the super PAC. But then as we enter the latter half of 2013 and then into 2015, the pattern changes to where all of a sudden American Bridge Foundation is reimbursing expenses of exactly $100,000, exactly $50,000, exactly $200,000. Those look much more like contributions than they do expense reimbursements for primarily over 90% for employees. How do you incur exactly $100,000 in salary and exactly $50,000 in salary the following month, followed by $3,000 in salary, followed by $100,000 in salary? It doesn't make sense. And to cap this off, as we enter 2017, things just get really messy. American Bridge Foundation, interestingly enough, doesn't begin incurring expenses in 2017 until after David Brock's high-profile $40 million fundraising campaign on the weekend of Trump's inauguration, which should, like, ring some serious warning bells that how come the foundation didn't incur any expenses, apparent as the records show, from late September 2016 all the way until January 23rd, 2017, 3 days after this high-profile fundraising campaign. It really lends credibility to my argument that these don't look like honest expense reimbursements. They look like contributions that are just being disguised expense reimbursements. So this matters. If you're giving money to a political committee, a super PAC, you still have to follow the rules. It needs to be reported as a contribution, and that's what we're arguing here. And
okay. And folks, please go to thecitizensaudit.com, thecitizensaudit.com. Download this report. Download this report in case it disappears. Make a hard copy of it, please. Andrew, continue, sir.
Yeah, and by the way, there are dozens of links to American Bridge reporting, to their websites, to the reports that they filed, all the information, all the websites that I've used to come to these conclusions. Don't worry, I saved them all. They're all archived. So there's no use in trying to take those websites down because I've got them all saved. So and that's part of the reason why I've been so quiet these past couple months, is that as we've been preparing this complaint, all I'm utilizing is information that's already in the public sphere that could be easily changed. So I kind of hid under a rock, and we got this complaint really, you know, nailed down tight. And then, you know, after I filed it today at the Federal Election Commission, you know, it's like the weight's off my shoulder.
We were, and I have to say this, Andrew, we kept our mouths shut about this. We were very concerned about your safety. We didn't say a word to anybody. But now, just so people are clear, you have filed a complaint with the FEC, correct?
Yes.
Okay. The Federal Elections Commission. And the, defendant in this case, or the, I guess you'd call them the defendant.
The respondents.
The respondents,
so,
okay.
Yeah. So a Federal Election Commission's complaint isn't like a typical legal document. Pretty much I'm just notifying the Federal Election Commission that, like, hey, you guys need to know about this. I request that you conduct an investigation into these matters. So, the Federal Election Commission has a set of steps that they need to take. So within 5 days, they need to acknowledge that they received my complaint, you know, that I, you know, properly notarized it, and that there's, you know, no glaring errors in it. And then they'll allow, after those 5 days, American Bridge and Correct the Record, which is also a respondent in the complaint, to, you know, give their reasoning why, you know, Andrew, he doesn't know what he's talking about. You don't need to conduct an investigation. But I believe that the questions that I'm raising in this complaint, there's five counts. I think that they absolutely deserve an investigation. And fortunately for the Federal Election Commission, we know the solution. So American Bridge Foundation told the IRS in 2013 that they kept employee timesheets to track employee expenditures to ensure that they weren't financially supporting the activities of the super PAC. So all the Federal Election Commission needs to do is to inspect each and every single employee timesheet for each and every single employee for each pay period at American Bridge starting in March 2011 through the end of June 2017. Since American Bridge Foundation said that they keep these timesheets, they should be either stuffed in a digital file or they should just be in a file cabinet. It should take all of 5 minutes for them to take all these timesheets, which they said they keep, and give them to the Federal Election Commission to prove that their expense reimbursements are honest. If they do not do that, or if the Federal Election Commission declines to investigate this, take this complaint seriously and conduct an investigation, then we really need to question whether the Federal Election Commission has any intention of faithfully enforcing the law to all organizations. To me, as just a citizen journalist, I find it very concerning that for the past 9 months, I've been placed in a position to where if I don't say anything, then nobody learns about this. I'm talking about the cost-sharing relationship between a super PAC and a nonprofit, and the super PAC is the common paymaster for, you know, all the shared employees. The Federal Election Commission doesn't know, they've never been notified once, that American Bridge Super PAC is a common paymaster, that they're sharing a large portion of their employees with American Bridge Foundation. To me, that's just mind-boggling how the Federal Election Commission doesn't require them, the organizations they oversee, to disclose that they have any cost-sharing relationships with other organizations. The same thing goes with the IRS. Nonprofits actually don't have to tell the IRS that they have a cost, that they are using a common paymaster. And what's more bizarre is that in order to be a common paymaster, you need to be a related organization. But when you look at American Bridge Foundation and you look at their end of year form 990s that they file with the IRS and you look at their related organizations, they don't list American Bridge Super PAC as a related organization, but they're actually doing that the right way because the IRS has two different definitions for related organization. One for everything but common paymaster appears, and then two related organization tests for common paymasters. So normally if you have 30% shared officers or directors, that's the test to determine whether you have a related organization, a parent-child relationship.
Right.
But for a common paymaster, you just have to have 30% shared employees. So American Bridge it meets the criteria of related organization for common paymaster, but not for the IRS's other definitions for common paymaster. So the reason why I'm saying this is that when I've been investigating this and trying to, you know, piece together how this arrangement works and asking the questions, it becomes quite apparent that there are some serious gaps in the way that the IRS and the Federal Election Commission approach election integrity. And there's just clear gaps in their reporting requirements. So that's a really high overview of how this is happening, how the organizations that are supposed to be conducting oversight have completely missed this. they're completely unaware, and how the media, despite almost a dozen times that I've been able to locate from 2012 through 2016, have kind of seen the breadcrumbs but haven't been able to piece together really the arrangement that's happening. So
what's what's the potential blowback here? Let's assume, and I believe you're 100% accurate that your allegations are accurate. What's the blowback? What's the Brock's organization? What happens?
Well, I'm sure that many of your viewers have seen the memo that was leaked by the Washington Free Beacon in January, by David Brock, disclosing their it was a fundraising conference. They're seeking to raise $40 million for Media Matters for America, American Bridge, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington D.C., and ShareBlue Media. And in that memo, it's like a brag sheet, you know, saying American Bridge's accomplishments. And American Bridge, they talk about how they fee like 18,000 stories to the media based off their research. Todd Akin in 2012, he was the, a Republican candidate for senator that had he made the gaffe about a legitimate rape that cost him the election. And that's not to, you know, give any of my opinions on that statement. I personally found that to be a reprehensible statement. But American Bridge, they had trackers that were following Todd Akin's every move. And they brag about how Todd Akin made that comment, and then American Bridge took that clip and then, you know, pretty much dispersed that to the media, and it went viral you know, within moments. I mean, that's the impact that American Bridge has. American Bridge also talks about how they provided opposition research directly to political campaigns, in addition to a wide swath of other nonprofits such as Emily List and Planned Parenthood, I believe, is listed in the in that memo as well. So every elected Democrat has indirectly benefited from American Bridge's research. And so, if, you know, given all this talk about election integrity ever since Trump got elected with Russia. And to be honest, I support investigations. Let's, you know, the truth doesn't fear being exposed. So, you know, I'm all for trying to get to the bottom of that and answering everybody's questions. But if it turns out that American Bridge is breaking federal election law, not following disclosure rules, will Democrats continue to accept help from American Bridge 21st Century? They plan to be active in every single 2018, every single competitive Senate race in 2018, as per that memo.
Yeah.
Their stated goal is to impeach President Trump, make him a one-term, or make him a one-term president in 2020. You know, those types of goals are fine for super PACs, but if they're breaking the rules, will Democratic politicians still accept their help? I'd hope that they would distance themselves from American Bridge. I hope that the Federal Election Commission takes my complaint seriously. Everybody that I talked to, you said that I've been talking to lawyers and you know, tax experts. That the conclusion after all those discussions is the same. It says, wow, these questions that you're asking really do deserve to be answered. So,
Andrew, we only got about 2 minutes left. If that, I want to ask you the FEC. What you say if they review your complaint? Isn't the way that you set it up and filed it, don't they have to address it? Or can they look at it and say there's nothing, just dismiss it out of hand with some excuse?
Yeah, so they have to accept, you know, within 5 days, accept the complaint and then give the respondents 15 days to respond. But then after that, the commissioners will need to hold a vote. And so there's there should be six commissioners, and all the rules state that you need to have four out of six commissioners give a thumbs up of approval to conduct an investigation. However, now there's only five commissioners. There's an empty seat. Based off my understanding, I still think that we're going to need to get four out of the five active commissioners to accept. There are three Republican commissioners, one Democratic, and one independent commissioner. Their information is available on the Federal Elections website, as is their email. I'm sure that they would love to to receive some emails from concerned citizens such as myself that they should take this complaint seriously.
Absolutely.
Let's do that. We're stretching this by a couple of minutes. We're going to forego the network break to keep you on a couple of minutes more. People should email the FEC, right? On your behalf.
The commissioners
on your behalf.
Well, I mean, their email is out there on their website. So, okay. I think that, I'm really gung-ho on the power of, you know, the individual, being able to influence their government. That's what I've been seeking to, you know, prove by example and, you know, conducting this research and putting out these reports, just, you know, as, you know, one person, the difference that somebody can potentially make. So, but now it's kind of all hands on deck. I've filed the complaint. The facts are all laid out. They speak for themselves, and now we're beholden to the commissioners of the Federal Election Commission that are notoriously deadlocked, that, you know, frequently just, you know, aren't able to come to decisions, or, you know, enforce the law that they're supposed to enforce. So I hope to drum up enough support, for this effort, to essentially indirectly force the hands of the commissioners to say that, hey, either you take this complaint seriously or large swaths of the American public are going to, you know, really have concerns that you are serious about properly enforcing the law. Look at the IRS with the Lois Lerner,
right,
scandal. I don't think that's good for the country, that large portions of the population think that, you know, the law is only properly enforced for, you know, conservatives versus liberals. And honestly, it's not about your intentions, it's how it's perceived. And that's how large portions of the American public are perceiving their government. It's up to the government to change the way that they conduct their business and to change our minds to prove to us that, yes, we do take this seriously, regardless of, you know, the partisan implications. So I really do hope that the Federal Election Commission doesn't just sweep this under the rug. And let me just touch up on how blatant some of the allegations are. So this one is related to Correct the Record, that some may remember during the election was, you know, funding pro-Hillary trolls on the internet.
Right.
Well, a WikiLeaks email from late 2015 revealed that Correct the Record said that they sent 400,000 emails to another Super PAC's email list. That Super PAC was named Ready PAC, or Ready for Hillary, from earlier in 2015. However, looking at Correct the Record's disbursements, all of them from 2015 through 2016, they never made any sort of payments towards Ready PAC for that email list, let alone anything else. So why does that matter? Well, you can't just give a valuable email list to a Super PAC. That either has to be paid for or rented, or it needs to be recorded as an in-kind contribution. But Correct the Record did neither. That's a very blatant violation, it appears. And if the Federal Election Commission looks at that and says, Super PAC used an email list that they did not rent or purchase, we're not going to look at that. That should raise some serious concerns if they, you know, really have what it takes to enforce the law.
Well, all we can say is, in the final 60 seconds that we have you, you just took a very sharp stick and poked a very big bear.
Yeah.
Okay. And let me tell you something. Andrew Kerr is the man. His investigative documents are available at his website, thecitizensaudit.com. Read about it as well at the Daily Caller. But thecitizensaudit.com is where you can download the report. And Andrew, almost a year of your life working on this, and I know you've done such a great investigative job. I just, the people of America owe you a debt of gratitude. And we thank our listeners too for their support of your efforts as well, giving them a nod, a hat tip as well, because it wasn't cheap. It wasn't easy. And now the test comes. Right.
Yeah, and I've put down a lot of money myself, but I'd like to thank your listeners for their support as well. I came on the show in June, I believe, and the support was great. So well, thank you.
And you know, yeah, and I know there's a lot of out-of-pocket expenses on your behalf. I know you did a lot of traveling on this. You consulted a lot of experts, and mm-hmm. they're not cheap, and you did a great job. So, you know, let's keep supporting Andrew Kerr because he is making a difference.
And we'll keep watching the Citizens Audit for the updates, and you keep in touch with us, Andrew, and we'll put you on the show as much as you need to cover the updates as they continue.
Amen. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Great job, sir.
Thanks, Andrew.
You're the man. Folks, then thank you, Global Star Radio Network. Thank you, Todd, there.
I just want to say this. It's great to see, you know, this finally get completed and filed. As you said at the beginning of the interview, this is something that Andrew's been working on for up to 10 months.
Yeah.
And has put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into this. And it's just been fascinating now to see it, the finished product and what is going to come of that, and the potential for Andrew to continue to do this kind of work as a journalist. Pretty excited about that. So that's great.
You know, Joe, and it's difficult to explain all of the intricacies in a 30-minute segment. And because it almost seems like, does it really matter? It almost sounds like this bookkeeping shuck and jive kind of thing.
Oh yeah, I know. And it does matter because often than not, these people skate on the corruption, on the scandals.
Yep.
And here we have available documentation that they have to provide, and rules and guidelines that they have to stay in are being broken systematically by these same people who get away with these things left and right. And if this is the way that they're held accountable, if Media Matters is held accountable, if they lose their tax exempt status, well then that's a win. That's one in the win column for the alternative media. And even if they don't lose it, even if just the fact that people came together, donated, helped Andrew. Andrew put in the legwork, did this huge investigation, sought the experts, and brought it forward. That's a win in itself just as well. But we want to see this thing through.
And I remember the very first conversation we had about this, and he was explaining this to me. And the more we got into it, the more I said, look, you need a forensic accountant. And he got one. And then another conversation, look, you need an attorney. He got one. In another conversation, I said, you need more attorneys, and he got them. And, you know, it's just the deeper that he went into this. And then finally I said, you need some bodyguards, man. I mean, seriously, because the findings on this are just beyond. I mean, folks, go to thecitizensaudit.com or read about this in the Daily Caller. This is just an incredible story. David Brock, of course, the boyfriend of former boyfriend slash lover slash whatever of James Alefantis, and head of Media Matters for America, American Bridge 21st Century, and of course the American Bridge 21st Century Foundation, Super PAC sharing its name, American Bridge 21st Century, all of this at the epicenter of a financial scandal, alleged scandal, and of course David Brock, paging David Brock. Andrew Kerr did a fantastic job.
Absolutely.
And, yeah.
Moving forward, we have with us Coach Dave Dobenmeyer. He's been on site in Texas, spearheading Hurricane Harvey relief efforts. And even though all this stuff's been going on in the news, the hurricane recovery and relief efforts continue and are ongoing. And Coach Dave has been down there putting in the hours, volunteering, coordinating with a bunch of other people in order to bring food and supplies and whatnot all down to the people who are still struggling. And it's not just in Texas. There's still an ongoing big relief effort in Puerto Rico. There are, you know, the wildfires in California. We have a lot of stuff going on, but Coach Dave has been down here. He's been down here for weeks, and he's been making a huge impact on some of the problems that are ongoing down there. Coach Dave, it's great to have you back on the show.
Hey, you guys quit pounding back there? I think I did that the last time. Good night, Joe. I had to do that again. Hey, listen, man. What a great guest. You guys are on top of everything, man. And I just want to tell you, I'm honored to be with you. I don't know if you guys can see my face here, Joe. I'm going to try to do a little bit of flip. I'm going to show you something here. This is 7 weeks, fellas.
What did you do?
It's been 7 weeks, and this is what you still see here on the streets of Port Arthur.
Wow.
This is where we are. 7 weeks, brothers. And you can walk up and down streets. Yeah, I don't care which one. You walk up and down them, And this is what you see. This is what's left of people's lives. And we made the commitment, Doug and Joe, thanks to you guys and a lot of other people. We made the commitment that we were going to see this thing through. And we've kept people on the ground down here now going on 7 weeks. We got another crew coming in next weekend. We got a crew coming in after that. Brothers, listen, guys, a lot of crazy stuff going on in the world. Let me tell you this. We got to keep our eye on the ball. And we live in, I'm thinking about 5 or 6 weeks ago, Doug. Everybody was worried about that hurricane. What was that name? Irma. Was. That was the big news. Remember that Harvey? I'm sorry, I'm walking here on using my cell phone. We had Harvey, then we worried about Irma. And we are just moving. I don't know if you've noticed this or not. We're moving from one crisis to another in America. And one of the things that's happening to us is we are becoming desensitized to everything that's going on. Now, listen, guys, I've been watching Las Vegas. What's going on in Las Vegas? Something crazy going on in Las Vegas, all right? But let's not take our eye off the ball, because the job of the enemy, which I would call the deep state, is to do what? Brother, they're running bootlegs. We have got to keep our eye on the ball and understand exactly what it is that's going on. So we're down here, and we're continuing to do what we said we were going to do 7 weeks ago. I know about the fires going on in San Francisco. I know about what happened in Las Vegas. I know about earthquakes that are going on everywhere. Hey, this is that, man. We can't be surprised. But here's what we have to do. We cannot get distracted and move from one crisis to another. And what we need to get people to understand is wherever you are, whatever you're doing, try to make a difference right where you are. We stuck a flag in the ground down here in Port Arthur and down in Rockport. And we're just following through on many of your listeners, Doug, who gave us donations to come down here and serve these people. So we're down here. This is my third trip. This is my first trip to Port Arthur. Let me flip this thing around, show you what we got going on here right now. We're doing a feeding out here. We're just wrapping up another feed. I don't want to talk about this. I'm going to introduce you to a hero here in a second. And I want you to understand that one person can, in fact, make a difference. You see, we're grilling hamburgers over here. We've got a lot of people, and it's winding down. Hey, Chris, come on over here a second. Hey, Doug, I want to do an interview here, if I can. Just stay right there a second, Chris.
You got the floor, Coach.
Okay, Doug, I want you to look at this guy right here. His name is Chris Keys. When I came down, he's been down here on the ground for 6 weeks. When I came down here yesterday, I said, hey, Chris, man, you're a hero. And he said, No, I'm not a hero. And you know what, Doug? Heroes, somebody doesn't think they are. And that's Chris Keys. Let me tell you this story, what he did. The night that the hurricane hit down here in Houston, we decided we were going to come down here. I got a hold of a buddy named Rusty Thomas, Operation Save America. Rusty said, man, you got to call Chris Keys. He lives down there in Houston. He can probably make some connections for you. So I called Chris. Chris says, Coach, you're not going to believe this. I'm getting in my truck and I'm heading out in a boat. I'm going to go out and rescue people. Now, let me back up a second, Doug, Joe. Chris Keys, standing before you right now, on Mother's Day weekend, was arrested outside the abortion clinic in Louisville, Kentucky, trying to rescue babies. This guy is a rescuer. It is what his life is all about. And he has dug in down here for 6 weeks, feeding these people, helping organize rehabilitation of homes. This unbelievable story. But here's what I want you to hear, Doug. Hey, Chris, welcome here, brother. Listen, hey, Chris, I want you to tell them about that harrowing first night when all of a sudden you said, I'm going to get me a truck and I'm going to get me a boat and I'm going to go rescue people.
I guess I had a call from a particular guy, and it was the first time I went to get somebody, and there weren't really boats going in yet. The water was still, people kind of drive around, but even my truck was getting where I had to jump up on islands.
He's got a big truck.
And kind of get up on the islands in order to make it not get into the intake. So I got this guy out. His name is Mike. I got back to our house. I realized, okay, we're going to need a boat because my truck's going to take in water and get shut down. And also we realized that it wasn't changing. We had missed the wind to some degree, but the water was just rising really fast. So anyway, some of us were praying. I moved my stuff to my second story of my apartment, and we thought the bottom might flood. But I got another young guy. I said, get a boat, and he actually grabbed it on the way down to meet me. We got together. and we were taking calls in Houston at first, and doing that, getting people, and did a bunch of rescues here in Houston. And then we realized that there are a lot of guys with boats here, but stuff's swinging around to Port Arthur in these areas. And
that's 90 miles, Doug. Port Arthur's 90 miles south of Houston. Now, I'm going to speed Chris up.
Just because
he's just a humble guy. So they got, Doug, they got word that somebody down in Port Arthur, they didn't know it was Port Arthur. They got an address of somebody that they needed to help go rescue. And Chris says, well, I'll go get them. And they couldn't find where they were. And they said, well, that's Port Arthur. That's 90 miles. And Chris said, I don't care. I told him I was going to come and get him. And Chris, tell him about that ride coming down through the water. What that was like.
Yeah. Well, and the gal, when her phone got shut off, we couldn't reach her anymore. And the last thing we said was, we're coming to get you. So we were debating whether or not this was good to do that or not. But anyway, we said, we have to go, because that was the last thing she heard, that we're coming to get her. So
she said the water is coming up above
her. Yeah, well, she said, I got water coming to my chest. My kids are up on the washing machine. And we called the police, obviously, or we tried to get people locally to go get her. We couldn't get anybody, so we said, we got to go. So we went, but every place we went, roadblock after roadblock, not even National Guard was going yet.
Doug, they had road closed signs, and Chris would get out of his truck, move the road closed sign, and continue on down a road completely covered with water.
Yeah,
Took him 5 hours to go those 90 miles.
And we would put the signs back because we didn't want any people in cars and stuff to get stuck. But we kept, going around and around and around. And, it was, and there were times that we had to get out and get guys out and actually stand on the water and look for the lines on the road, because you couldn't see barriers. You didn't know if you were going to walk into a ditch or not.
You saw cars in the water beside you.
It was like driving through a lake is what it looked like. So, but when we got down there, we worked our way to this gal's house. Finally got to the house. And she had been, this particular gal, by the time we got there, walking in her house in water, somebody got her. But when we got there, there were all kinds of people just standing in their front lawns, old guys sitting out there in their shorts, and nobody's looking for somebody to get them. So we just started getting people.
This was done at night, by the way, Doug. We didn't say that. He drove down at night.
Wow.
Yeah, we didn't know an hour, 45 minutes thing turned into 5 hours just to get there.
He called me at 4 a.m, Doug, on his way down there, and says, Coach, this is really harrowing, man. I need some prayer. This is really treacherous. And he went down in there. I'm moving the story ahead because I want to talk about what we're doing here. These guys rescued about 100 people, Doug, Joe. And I want your listeners to know that the money that they sent to us, we put gas in the tank and got those guys down here. Now, you think that would be enough, wouldn't you? You think that would be enough? Chris got arrested on Mother's Day weekend for rescuing babies. He drives down through this treacherous weather, and nobody else will go down to Port Arthur. He rescues 100 people, and so you think he would go back home and go to the Bahamas and rest, wouldn't you? No. He got his son and his daughter, and they've come down here, and they've been down here now for 6 consecutive weeks. They don't live here, Doug. They don't live here, but they've come down here to try to help these people down here.
Yeah, there have been some other good. We've had a lot of people come in and out through this time, too, and Coach, we've been just keeping, as long as we have something to work with, we've been doing this, buying food, buying specific things for specific people here. One of the ladies we're bringing a hamburger to tonight is a lady that was sleeping in her car for 11 days after the flood. She slept in her car. And we also got her an AC because her AC didn't work.
Let me stop a minute. Listen to this story. Her house was flooded. She's 80 years old. Her house was flooded. And Chris caught up to her and says, well, where are you sleeping, ma'am? She says, well, I'm sleeping in my car. But her car had been underwater. So the car seat was totally soaked. And at night, she would get a blanket, and she would put the blanket over that car seat, and she would sleep in it and get up in the morning, and the blanket would be soaked. And she would lay the blanket on the top of her car and let it dry out. And she did that for 11 nights. And now Chris Keyes has been down there rehabilitating her house, taking all the drywall out and making it habitable. There's great stuff going on, brother. There's a lot of heroes. Now, Chris. We got a lot going on behind the scenes, Doug and Joe, but listen, it is important. But Chris, you're down here sharing the gospel. You're not just cooking hamburgers.
No, we don't even, people don't, you can see here, we try, everybody that comes through gets a tract or a Bible. We've handed out a lot of Bibles, but we put them in their hands. We don't want to be where they're just door to door and they just go in the trash them. And we have pictures of people's Bibles that their own Bibles are full of mold sitting out in piles. Because the bookshelf just pop up and fall right over when the waters came up. So it's a very big deal to talk about this this rescue that we did or participated in, but also the greatest rescue of all when Christ rescued us really from ourselves.
Amen.
And from our own sin. Oh, so
do you get that picture, man? Talking about being rescued out of a boat, but he comes to us, no, the real rescue is to be rescued from your sins by Christ. And Doug, Joe, it's just unbelievable the work that's going on down here. Now, Chris, I'm going to move on.
Bless you.
Chris,
right,
is a hero, man.
You.
Hey, Doug, Joe,
Chris, you're a hero. I just want to say, Chris, you're an absolute
Chris,
hero.
You're a hero, man. He said, but he won't let you say that he is, right?
Well,
he didn't. He just won't say it. But he's still down here, Doug. While everybody else has moved on to Las Vegas and everybody's moved on to, Chris is being a faithful. The Bible says to commit to faithful men. And that's Chris Keys, is a faithful man.
Coach, this you are exemplifying what Christians, true Christians, should be doing and are doing in your case. And God bless you. Keep going, sir.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, Doug, I'm going to grab this sweetheart right here. Ma'am, you're live and on there. What's your name?
Joanne Wheeler.
Hey, Joanne, tell us your story a little bit about what has happened down here and how you survived what's going on.
It's not here. We're on the other side of you. On the other side of Beaumont, Sour Lake.
Okay.
We had 61 inches of rain. And I have a picture. I can show you a picture of how it looked. And...
But you don't have to because we can't even imagine. Water's water. Okay, Doug and Joe, I don't know if you can see that picture of it.
Yeah.
But how have you survived it? What's going on, Joanne?
A lot of prayer.
A lot of prayer.
And we was taken out in a boat. Four roads were closed. Nobody could come in or out. And so the mayor of Sour Lake told us that no one was coming to help us. So we got all of our food. Everybody, the townspeople that were staying in the shelter, got all their stuff together. And we shared it in the shelter.
Isn't that something? Hey, folks, don't believe this idea that we're a divided nation. The media wants us to believe that, but people join together down here to rescue each other.
Well, they couldn't get in because the roads were closed.
We're all blocked off.
Yeah, water up on all roads. And there's four ways in, four ways up, the same four way out. So about a week and a half later, a helicopter, Army helicopter came in with supplies for us. About a week and a half. But us townspeople that lived in the shelter, we all came together.
Amen.
As family. And I had water, another person had canned goods, and we cooked at the center and all.
We're resilient people, Doug and Joe. Resilient people. Doug, bless you, Joanne. Thanks.
Hey, I have a question for you.
Yeah, right.
Not with the camera.
Okay, we'll get it here in a second. Here's Jared. Come all the way from Heath. Come down here to help us as well. What's been your experience, Jared?
Awesome. Well, it's bad. There's still a lot of trash, you know. I mean, pretty crazy, almost 2 months. But it's great to be able to help these people and point them in the right direction.
That's right. Share the gospel with them. Now, Doug, Joe, if you don't mind me putting a shameless plug in here, we're going to be down here for longer, Doug. And you know what we need? We need money. Sure, send us money. But you know what we need more than money, Doug? We need people. We need people.
Amen.
We're looking for guys who's... If somebody would just contact me at CoachDaveLive.com, just come contact me. Say, Coach, listen, I can come next weekend. I can come the following. I can come the first weekend of November. We need people who can come down. What we're doing, Joe, Doug, we're bringing into Port Arthur construction guys who know what they are doing. But we need grunts. You know what I'm saying? We need grunts when we go in. They begin to put the new drywall in. Guys to carry the drywall in. The guys to do all that kind of stuff. And we have the experts down here who know how to repair some of these homes. But we need helpers. We need helpers. We'll take care of your food when you're down here. We'll give you a place to stay. We'll help with your traveling expenses. So I just put that appeal out there to more and more. This is, folks, again, this is an opportunity to make the church great again. And we have volunteers that are here helping us. We fed probably 300-400 tonight. We'll feed that many more tomorrow. We'll be repairing homes with the crew we have down here. We have 20 college students from Kentucky Mountain Bible College coming in next weekend, not this weekend, the next weekend. Then we got five guys we're flying in from different parts of the country to come in and do the repairs. Doug, we need bodies. We need some people who say, listen, Coach, I don't know what I can do, but I'm willing to help. We need women to come down and do the cooking for us. There's still a lot of stuff to be done. Most people have moved on to Las Vegas. They've moved on to earthquakes. They've moved on to fires in San Francisco. Brother, we have unfinished work here in Port Arthur, Texas, that we've committed to do.
Okay, Coach, to be clear, anyone who can help, any able-bodied man or woman, contact you how?
Just go to CoachDaveLive.com. Coach Dave, or I can give a phone number if they want to also, Doug.
Okay.
CoachDaveLive.com. My phone number is 740-323-0871. 740-323-0871. And we've had people who now have said to us, listen, Coach, I will pick up the tab to fly some people in. So if you have a specific skill and you'd like to come down and help us, we can help it so that you don't, like, it's 20 hours for me, Doug. We've had guys drive 26 hours to come and help. And, luckily somebody stepped forward and said, I'll buy some ticks to fly some of those guys down there. So if that's you out there and you'd like to come for a weekend, you get a hold of me as soon as you can so we can get you set up and get you down there.
And I'll just say this. The Hagman Report will, we'll work out the details. If you're an able-bodied man out there and you can spend at least a week, we will.
Or even a weekend, Doug. Or if they fly in on a Friday, okay, and fly out on a Monday, that would be just as great as well.
The Hagman Report will guarantee your transportation anywhere in the continental United States. Okay, that's the best we can do.
Doug, we appreciate it. Listen, folks, hear me, folks. Please hear my heart here. The church has got to get ready.
Yes.
We can't run around from crisis to crisis to crisis. And what the Lord is showing us, I believe, when you look at the hearts of the people down there, that little Joanne we just talked to, these folks lost everything, Doug. They're asking questions. You know, I'm a good Christian. I go to church. What's going on? It's an opportunity for us to come down and say, listen, man, hate to tell you this, but the rain falls on the just and the unjust, and it's time for you to get right with the Lord. That's the message that we bring when we come. Yeah, we put a hamburger in their belly, and yeah, we tear out their drywall. We do all that stuff. But these people are open. They've lost everything. We want them to know that the one thing that they cannot afford to lose is their relationship with Jesus Christ. So, Rahm Emanuel and all those guys. Hey, Doug, it's unbelievable how much the other side, how much the other side is in control. We see that great interview that you just did, all the stuff that's gone on, and nobody will do anything about it. There's no referee that will throw a flag, no judge that will fight. Hey, fellas, guys, girls, we have got to begin to stand up and fight and make a difference right where we live. Quit chasing tragedies. Quit chasing disasters. Get prepared right where you are. Get yourself a downline of people right in your local area that if the crap hits the fan right where you live, you guys are going to be ready to rise up and help your community survive. That's the message that I see, Joe. Doug, I can't do anything about what went on in Las Vegas. I think it stinks to high heaven, but I can't do anything about that. But I can cook a hamburger right down here. I can tear out some drywall right down here in Port Arthur, and I can share the gospel of Jesus Christ with lost and dying people down here. To me, that's what we got to keep our eye on the ball.
And that's the most well said. That's it. We can't do a damn thing about Las Vegas. We can't do a thing about other things, but we can help. And Joe, you were going to say something, I know. And I
didn't interrupt. Coach, I just wanted to ask you, how long do you anticipate the recovery effort's going to last down there?
About 20 years.
Yeah,
be
really.
Honest with you, about 20 years. But we're committed, Doug and Joe, if we can get people to come and help us, we're committed through Thanksgiving. In fact, okay, we were talking just yesterday about coming down and doing a real nice Thanksgiving feed down here. But I don't, you know, sometimes I outrun my coverage. You know what I'm saying? I outkick my coverage. That would be my plan, is just to try to stay down there at least through Thanksgiving. And, hey, Doug, we can never do enough, brother. I'm just telling you. You walk up and down these streets. It's 8 weeks, 7 weeks, and the crap is still out in front of their front yard. And some of them have got back in their homes. But when, like, we're cooking them here tonight, they come up and say, oh, thank you. I still don't have a stove. I still don't have a refrigerator. These people lost everything, and they don't have the finances to go out. So their lives are going on, but not to the degree that they would. So we're doing all we can to try to give them a little bit of hope.
All
Coach,
right.
Do you know, out of the people who are rebuilding, staying, if there are a lot of people leaving or moving from the area because of what happened?
Joe, you know, what a great question. I had a lady say to me, I went to Walmart today to pick up a bunch of supplies. And you know what the lady said to me? She says, I've never seen anything like this. These people down here lose everything, and they will not leave. And I'm thinking, man, is that ever the American spirit? They may have a blown-up home, but by golly, it's their home. If they have to sleep in their car and they have to sleep in a tent, they're going to do it, and they are committed that they are going to rebuild. And, you know, it's down here in the southern part of Texas. Hey, it's a diverse community. I hate to use that word. There are Vietnamese down here. There are Hispanics down here. I ran into a Hispanic woman yesterday who has lived here 44 years. She wasn't some border jumper. We all think that about Hispanics. These people down here have been in this community a long time, and they're family oriented. They love their families. They stay together. It breaks our heart to see what's going on down here and how they're struggling so hard to stay alive while the rest of us move on to other things. I walked in Walmart today, Doug. I was looking for some charcoal, and you know what the lady told me? She says, "I don't know if we have any charcoal. We moved it out because we got Christmas decorations coming."
Oh.
That's what she told me, brother. That's America, isn't it, buddy?
That's America, indeed. Coach, yep. we tweet this out to Donald Trump, to, you know, at real Donald Trump. Tweet this out everywhere you can. But Coach, you are a true American hero. You and yeah. We accept that. As well,
Chris,
as Chris,
huh? There's real hero. Chris laid his life on the line, brother. He got in that boat. It is dangerous. Nobody would come down there.
Man,
nobody
was
going to Port Arthur, and he went to Port Arthur and has been here 6 weeks ever since.
Well,
people still rolling in. See, they're still getting out of their cars, still rolling in, getting a hamburger.
Well, God bless you, man. And we have your back, Coach. Thank you. We're at the end of our segment.
All right, Doug, Joe. God bless you guys. Thanks for having me on.
God bless you.
Keep up the great work.
Let's make the church great again.
There you go.
That's right.
Coach Dave is our guest. And, folks, if you can help him out, donate.
Please. Time.
As my dad said, Hagman Report will pay for the airfare to get you down there if you can volunteer time.
Right.
For what? One, two people?
We can cover the expense of one, maybe two people.
Okay.
We're going to do what we can, but let's get bodies down there. And to the progressives out there who have a heart, put down your soy latte, okay, and get down there and learn some scripture as well as help people out. We're going to be right back. HagmanReport.com. That's our website. God bless Coach Dave. CoachDaveLive.com, and I want to thank John for hooking us up, and man, what a great story. This is what Christians do. I'll be right back. Greenovative. Go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link to Greenovative. What Greenovative is, it's a small company in Florida. They created something called the GMAG Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water to this unit that recharges rechargeable batteries. It's the coolest thing you'll ever see in your life. It's really neat. Really a super device. All right, you need just 2 teaspoons of ordinary table salt, a little water, but a bang, you're charging your rechargeable batteries. Super GMAG Chargeable is affordable, it's lightweight, weighs about 8 ounces, it's durable, it's EMP proof, and it's environmentally friendly. Yeah, that it is. It'll provide safe and convenient power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid when other power sources aren't available anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night. Go to greenovative.com. That's greenovative.com. Folks, in these uncertain times, it just makes sense to have a sustainable backup method for accomplishing one of life's most important tasks, and that's preparing food. This is the way to go. There is nothing better than a Minuteman rocket stove from MinutemanStove.com. We all need a way to cook and a method to process water. I mean, think about it. Think about the many things that could happen to you. Minuteman rocket stove can provide your family or group the perfect solution. It's small, lightweight, wood-burning, and every bit as powerful as a kitchen stove. It's smokeless, fully self-contained for clean storage and transport. Because it's so efficient, it cuts down on your wood gathering and processing chores to a tenth what would be required if cooking the old-fashioned way over an open fire. So don't rely on gas or fuel stoves. Prepare your family. Prepare for yourself. Order a Minuteman rocket stove today. It's going to make bad times much better. Folks, MinutemanStove.com. MinutemanStove.com. Need I say more?
You should have a Minuteman, the survival stove in an ammo can.
For investors, timberland has become the symbol of safety. Global tropical timber demand continues to surge as the world's population increases. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater. When stock markets crash, Trees keep growing. Direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to accredited investors. Prime, valuable hardwood groves close to the beautiful Costa Rican border generate and maintain superior long-term wealth. Consider visiting our forest plantations. Qualified accredited investors should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com or dial 855-888-6288 for more information. Call 855-888-6288 or visit PreciousTimberProfits.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288, PreciousTimberProfits.com, PreciousTimberProfits.com.